Well, hello and welcome to roundtable number 31 of the Dualist Community Podcast. This roundtable was a lot of fun. There was a smaller crew in here today, and I just want to reiterate, if you're out there and you're feeling like you're going through some stuff, feeling like you don't think you have anything to share or add, all we were doing this whole call is talking about our own experiences and our own stuff. And that palette that you got, that little slew of paints that you think isn't that big, it's a lot bigger than you think. So if you're ever interested, maybe not a round table, but at least hop into a group, even one of our free Wednesday groups, 6 p.m. Eastern time, every single Wednesday. We would love to hear what you got going on in your life.
Absolutely. And if you can, join us for our new Wednesday group, not just our free public group that you can register for through Zoom, but also our Discord group. Not really a group. We just chill out in the lounge. Last week we were playing chess. It's very informal. It's a lot of fun. You're welcome to just come hang out and connect with the rest of the Discord community because they're all awesome. And just like you, all they're doing is sharing their own journey. It's just by virtue of our common root that we can all learn from these journeys. And we'll get into that more in this episode.
Enjoy the episode. We'll talk to you soon, boys and girls.
And here we are for a roundtable episode. I am fucking stoked. Roundtable number 31. Pretty sure it's 31. Almost certain it's 31. I always lose track, I'm pretty sure, with each and every roundtable. And I do enjoy that because really, who the fuck cares? Anyway. We've been having a hell of a conversation today. We had a social episode just before this. I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but I know that the reason I don't remember exactly what we were talking about is because it's very difficult to circle around what is actually here in the moment, presently, and then remember what the concepts were of the experience, because the concepts are almost secondary. They're almost unimportant, frankly. Because the experience of just being yourself, expressing yourself, is really a reward in itself. I had an artist friend at one point, and he tried to explain this to me. I was very young at the time. I think I was like 24, and he was an incredible artist. Like the art that this man did just blew me away. The colors, the vibrancy, the way that it expressed whatever the hell he was feeling at the time. And he would say to me that he did his best work when he was in such a state of just being lost in what he was doing that he was practically drooling. That his mind had almost entirely turned off, and each and every stroke of the brush was like its own psychedelic experience because it was all the meaning and all the emotion that he was feeling going into what he was doing. And that's incredible. That's very much what a lot of musicians have communicated over time as well. Just getting lost in their art, being able to hear it and then learn to express it. It's an incredible thing, but it always just comes down to being what you are, being who you are. And it's so funny, we were laughing about this because you're always being you. It's just that sometimes you're being you trying to be something else. And that changes the experience of being you. Now it's you in a tunnel.
The amount of times that I've assumed that whatever I'm about to say shouldn't be said, should be different. Oh, don't talk about that. Talk about something else. Something else. Something else. Something else. Not that. Not that. Not that. And like, you just go round and round and round. It's like, motherfucker, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up and just say whatever it is. So with that, with the art, like having the thought of like my experience with art and the back and forth of that. And there's a side of me that's like, no, don't talk about that. You're just talking about yourself. Like, come up with, find something else to say, find something else to talk about. It's like, I don't have to do that. I can just talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about. That happens to be art in this moment. And the fact that I couldn't fathom, now I'm starting to be able to fathom just sitting down to do art, like sitting down to draw something that I really enjoyed doing when I was younger. But like, that wasn't even something that I straight up like couldn't rationalize doing it. I was like, well, it's the same thing with reading for so long. Like, I remember the feeling of thinking you know, if I were to get an audiobook and in that moment thinking like, should I just get the regular book? I'd be like, well, no, because then I'd have to sit down and sit still and read it, and I wouldn't be able to, you know, like be walking at the same time. It's like, why would I sit down to read when I can go on a walk and take in the same sort of information, missing out on the entire experience of just fucking sitting there myself and just digging into something for the sake of digging into it. That's what it was doing things for the sake of doing them. Like reading an audiobook while on a walk wasn't for the sake of that experience. It was for what I was gonna take from it, what I was gonna get out of it. It's like our life is either what we're gonna get out of life or what we're gonna be, what we're gonna express into life from ourselves instead of fucking taking. Like, oh, I gotta take an ad, take an ad, take an ad, take an ad. And yeah, so being able to just do some art and sit down and do it, not for any purpose, not to record it, not to film it, not to post about it, not to do anything, just for the sake of doing it. It's like that is a there's a side of me that's mind blown by a little bit.
Yeah, because it's a world of its own, right? That's why a lot of artists are willing to do what they do despite being poor and not getting paid for it. They hope maybe one day somebody will recognize what they're doing, but it's already a reward enough for them to keep doing it despite the limitations that it might place on their life otherwise. So that said, this is a round table. It's not just Andrew and I sitting here shooting the shit. So I just wanted to mention very quickly, we're joined by two people. Jazz, who is, of course, our Discord god. Discord, by the way, has been fucking amazing. I've been really digging just all of the evolutions. If you, listener, haven't checked out the community Discord yet, let me try that again. The community Discord. That didn't sound quite so garbled there. That was good. Go to dualisticunity.com/community. And then it'll take you there, or just click on the community button. It'll take you to Discord. And we are also joined by Amanda, who's been just killing it in season six of Dualistic Unity. So we're glad that they could both join us. But for now, I'm going to pass it over to Jazz, and I'm going to shut the fuck up.
Hello, hello. Glad to be on here. Glad I could make it. It's been a while since I've been on a round table, so I'm very excited to see where this conversation goes. Good group as well. I enjoy this group. Yeah, art. I have really been appreciating as well, just taking the time to sit down and just draw without knowing what I'm going to draw, but just drawing for the sake of drawing. And just seeing what comes up, because oftentimes it can be just a reflection of something I'm processing without even realizing that's what I'm processing. But it's just, I don't know, especially when things are starting to feel heavy, it's been a cool thing that I've been doing, that I've been appreciating, because yeah, there's so much that can come out of those kinds of experiences. I've been finding it very interesting to see my discomfort with doing things where there isn't a clear sort of trajectory that makes it obvious that I'm getting better at something. It's like just doing it and having no idea where this leads, having no idea how this is going to be perceived, and not having an idea myself as well of how I'm perceiving it makes it more uncomfortable as well, because then it's like, then I really don't know what the right thing could even be. I think that sometimes it can be easy for me to start looking for some sort of certainty in whatever it is that I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Like, I'm playing this game so that I can get better at it because I derive my value somewhat from getting better at things, for example. Or doing anything where it's the trajectory is obvious in some way. And actually, I find that funny in itself because Andrew has mentioned a few times on the podcast how he was just focused on other things during high school and not gaming as much. And I mean, I was focused on gaming, but I was going through pretty much the exact same shit of valuing myself based on the things I was doing. So it's just, it really doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, which I think is what I've been feeling in regards to all of this, is that It could be drawing, it could be reading books, it could be working out, it could be running, it could be anything. Like, it's not any one particular thing as much as, is there something you want to do that you have been putting yourself off from doing just because you're afraid that you can't do it, or that you can't do it well, or that you shouldn't be doing it as well? Like, that's another thing, is that all the assumptions and limitations we put on what we should and shouldn't be doing. But just doing those sorts of things can provide such a new perspective on the experience that you've already been having. It's so funny because, like, it's been mentioned that gaming has been a cool new way of looking at, I don't know, the kinds of things that you're invested in, for example. But it's like all those things you were already invested in, and it's just like you're just seeing it in a different thing now. And so I find that very amazing. It's just like, maybe you've been doing the thing that you've been doing for a while, and it's just become such an ingrained thing that you might not even be aware that you're doing it. And then when you do something else, like games, for example, and you haven't played games in a while, then you're like seeing it so much more clearly, because it's like, oh, this is supposed to be fun. Whereas for a lot of people, games are not fun, like straight up, and they will not see it at all. They will be like, no, this is, yeah, I'm just a competitive person. But yeah, it's just expanding out into different kinds of experiences that I find so rejuvenating, in terms of just giving the kind of insight into the experience I'm already having, and also allowing me to see how I can push myself to do things that don't give me any of that sort of comfort that I have been getting from the sorts of things that I have been doing in the past. And so drawing has been one of those things where it's not quite clear to me that my lines are always getting better. But damn, am I having a good time. And it's only because I'm not allowing myself to think about that as much, or if I'm thinking about it, I'm not taking it seriously. And just allowing that process to come through, unfold, just looking at what comes out. And it's really good practice in not judging yourself, because holy shit, are we doing so much judging to ourselves? It's like, it's wild to me. It's just wild to me how much pressure we put on ourselves to be something and we never needed to. And it's just about expanding into that feeling of just being okay, being here, being yourself, being allowed to change, and being just whatever is happening now, and just allowing that to unfold without holding on to so many ideas of how it needs to look. That can be very freeing.
Yeah, straight up. And it's interesting because, again, as a dad, I got to go through this with my daughter as she was growing up, and she was drawing. And of course, what did she do? She started to judge herself. When she saw her friends drawing, she's like, oh, you know, there's a spectrum of, you know, how you can draw and whatnot. And I just told her, like, talk to me after 1,000 drawings. Because I remember one day she's like, I'm not making any progress. Talk to me after 1,000 drawings. You know, because after 1,000 drawings, you'll see the progress. It's just that we want to see it now. We want to see it now. We want to know from one picture to the other that we have progressed significantly. It's like, what is your rush? You know, what exactly is the hurry? And that's it. It's like, well, because then I'll be happy and complete. It's like, nope, still a bunch of shit you won't know how to do. And then you want to go and figure out how to do that stuff so you can face the same triggers. So you can face the same uncertainty again and learn more about yourself. So what is your rush? There's just more shit down the road. Take your time. Chew this batch.
Oh, I'll pass to Amanda quick, but the amount of things I've done in my life where it's like, didn't do it great the first time, and all it took, like, starting to try new things now, and holy fucking shit, it's just like, even a couple tries in, like our first game of StarCraft. I was like, fucking... And then I started to realize, like, oh, fuck, this is just me expressing myself in a different way, in a new way, showing how much I can't fathom, like, not taking myself seriously, because jazz with someone who's just like, oh, I'm just a competitive person. It's like, there's a person who takes yourself really seriously. That's it. And, like, values yourself based on how you perform and how you do. And, you know, same with Wing Chun. We've had a couple back and forth at the retreat. Ray's showed us a few things, and it's never necessarily like sunk in because it's just been, you know, small in small batches. It's usually just like one sort of thing, and then I don't feel like I did it that great. And I'm like, oh, that's enough. Same with fucking surfing last year. I took a surfing lesson. It was like, was out there for a while and like didn't go back. And just the number of things where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm clearly not good at that. It's like, check back in after 1,000 fucking tries. And then you can say something. Until then, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up and do it again.
And 100 doesn't count.
100 doesn't count. It's like, surely 722. That's enough. Nope. 288, 278 left. Keep going. Amanda.
I love it. We don't want to be the progress, right? We don't want to be the process. We want to be the experience of crossing the finish line. I don't want to learn. I want to know. I don't want to learn. I want to master. And it's like, okay, so are you thinking this is going to be a one and done kind of life, back to back one and dones? Like, I find one recipe and I make it once and I make it perfectly. We cut everything exactly right. We cook everything exactly right. I want to paint. I pick up the paintbrush. Voila, Michelangelo had a daughter. Here I am. I just picked up the brush. It was calling me. like you just want to cross the finish line. You don't want to take each step to get to that finish line, you know, because I don't want to be the process of learning. I want to be the experience of feeling like I'm better, like I'm more, you know? And so I really like playing these games. The last game that we played last night, I got killed like immediately. And I definitely was still messing around. But I was so bummed out that I got killed so quickly. And I tried to go to bed and I just couldn't go to bed. And so I wrote a poem to myself because it just like, I just, these words were coming up and I was just like, all right, just get it out, write it down. As soon as I wrote it down, I fell asleep in like a minute and it was great. And so I want to read you guys the poem that was stuck in my head last night. And so it starts, start again. How can I start again when I don't like this end? I want my preferences. I want my comforts. Because starting again means letting go of what should have been. That was it. That was the only thing that came to mind because I didn't even want to start another game because I was like, it's late. I've got to work in the morning. Like, you know, the time has come and gone, right? The time for the game has come and gone. But it's not that I wanted to start again. It's that I didn't like that end. And so, those words, like that feeling, just, I couldn't shake that feeling to go to sleep. And so I was like, okay, well, let's just feel these feelings. Let's write this out. And then once I felt it, once I put it on paper, I was like, oh, okay, now we can admit it on paper. I was being a big baby and it was great. And then I went to sleep like a baby, but you know, one that I burped myself and I was like, all right, enough out of you. Down you go.
You see right there, application. More application than you're going to end up finding sitting down meditating. Because while that is helpful, because you can become more sensitive to yourself, when you're under pressure, when you're actually in the shit, that's when it becomes important to remind yourself, oh, I'm taking this seriously. You know, I was trying to get somewhere. I think this is important. You know, and you just keep yourself in check. That's really it, right? Like, because it's like, it's a fucking game. Like, at the end of the day, it's a fucking game. And it's just, and I know from experience, you can, you know, as Jazz said, not enjoy games at all. You enjoy games when you're winning, as opposed to actually enjoying games. You know, and this is why games are such a good exercise. in looking at what kind of a winner or loser you are and why you have to be either. Because neither really exist, if you think about it. The playing the game is the winning. Because you could be sitting around doing fucking nothing. And instead you're playing. What else were you looking for exactly? Do you need a medal? Would you like a trophy? You're not going to get that for every game you play. Is that why you're playing? Because that doesn't sound like fun. The point is when you're playing, the playing makes sense. You're like, oh, I see why I'm doing this. This is great. Just do that. You know, then it doesn't matter if you won or lost a fictitious game that matters nothing at all. You've already won. You're winning as you play. You're winning in the connection. You're winning in the experience. You're winning in tripping over yourself and going, fuck, I'm taking myself really seriously. Because that's an actual lesson that will go with you for the rest of your life because you're learning it in real time instead of trying to memorize it. You're seeing the consequence of taking yourself seriously. And out of that comes art and sometimes poetry.
Oh, and the art, and just like even playing a video game is art in a sense, in being yourself. How seriously are you taking yourself? How much are you willing to laugh at yourself? Oh, you just, you know, thought you were doing this thing and you sent a bunch of people in one way and it wasn't the right thing. It's like, can you laugh at yourself in response to that? And it's almost like if life isn't the playing, just the constant like involvement in life, it's like holding your breath until the outcome. And then it's like you get an exhale, or you fucking are forced to exhale because you've been holding your breath for so long, and just like beat yourself up with the exhale if you lost, and if you won, it's the exhale. And then as soon as it happens, it's like you go back to holding your breath until you get that cessation. You get that, even just the certainty of like being a winner or a loser, because until then it's all in flux, and I don't want to deal with that uncertainty of how am I doing. So I'm just gonna assume that I'm like in the game. It's like I could spend the whole time assuming I'm doing something wrong and we could end up winning the game. And it's like, how much of that experience was like not fun? Because I was like, oh, I must be doing, how many things am I doing wrong right now? This many things. Like, you don't even, there's no right or wrong to it. It's an open fucking thing. It's an open situation. Everything is. So you don't have to hold your breath until you find out how you're doing. You're never going to really know. Someone will tell you maybe, but even them, it's just their own self-soothing and validation.
Even they don't know. They might tell you like one facet of how you're doing, but they don't really know the rest of it. It's like, hey, you got a hell of an arm on you, kid. Nobody's like, you know, you're dealing with some serious fucking drama from your childhood. You know, like they're not recognizing the whole shit that you're going through. Just the one facet that they're able to look at from their own experience. Right. Jazz.
I find that to be true as well of the statistics that they give you after the game as well. Because while that can be useful for learning purposes, it's also a very, very incomplete picture. Like, there's so much that they don't tell you about how the game was being played, about how the conversation, the communication that was unfolding during the game, about how one person was facilitated all of these goals because of some other person doing something that if they didn't do, then the first person who got all these medals would not have even been able to do. So we're like, we have so little certainty over how we've done as well that even holding on to ideas of how we've done, let alone like the winning and losing is one thing as well, but also like if we have won, then who did well and who helped this team win? Like, you have no idea. Like, one person could have been playing well and maybe the only reason they were playing well was because the other person talked to them about something and it helped them get over some fear that they were having. And so you, like, there's so much that goes into everything that is just happening that it's so easy to get lost in the weeds and try to derive some sort of certainty out of how you're doing and just use that as some sort of measuring stick, some comparison, some way to make yourself feel better in face of the unknown. But yeah, if you're not holding on to all of these ideas, then like Ray was saying, it just becomes play. Like it just becomes fun the entire way through. It's so fascinating and it's so funny because that's what I was noticing at the first retreat. That honestly, I don't know if I ever played a pool game like that before in my life where it did feel like I had no idea which team I was on, goddammit. We were constantly just asking, wait, am I strikes or am I solids? I'm here right now, damn it. I'm not here 2 minutes ago when I hit the ball. Oh, yeah, but it's so easy to get lost in the trajectories of how it's going. And I found it so easy to even settle on the certainty that I've lost only to derive some sort of trajectory of how I'm going to win next time. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to accomplish this challenge. I'm not going to change the difficulty of this game. I'm going to keep going over and over and over again, bashing my head in until I win so that I feel good about the. So I get that good feeling. And it's so interesting because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with not changing the difficulty and bashing your head in over and over. There's a lot of things to be learned from that for sure. But if you're deriving your identity out of that entire process, then you're not going to be able to appreciate the process in the same way because you're going to feel like you're losing until you feel like you're winning, when in fact you were winning the entire time if it was just a perspective shift. So it's just fascinating how much influence we have over our experience. And something I wanted to bring up since we're talking about games is we're having a DU games night this Sunday, I think. Well, I put a poll on the Discord server. Yeah. I put a poll on the Discord server yesterday asking for when people can make it to a games night, and apparently a lot of people have voted for this Sunday, and so we would be having a games night this Sunday if that's the one that wins out. But I'm very excited for this because holy shit, this has been a long time coming. And yeah, we don't know what games we'll play yet. Some options are either Jackbox or Among Us, and those are both awesome games. Jackbox is just a great party game where you get to, I don't know, be creative. There's a lot of potential for judging yourself in that. And it's just a very lighthearted game that you can just play with your phone, so it's easy to access. And Among Us is also an awesome game, very different kind of game where you're basically a crew working together and solving tasks on a spaceship so that the spaceship gets fixed. But there's two people in the crew that are sabotaging the entire fucking mission, killing everyone on the ship. And so the crew has to basically work together to find out who the killers are, who the imposters are on the crew, who are sabotaging the missions. And so that's also a really fun game that I find where you have to really think on your feet, where you really have to be in the moment and like really listen, because a lot of people are saying a lot more than you're listening to if you're really allowing it. So yeah, I'm very excited. So if you can make it, we would love to have you there for sure.
That sounds dope. It's so funny how there's so much happening on the Discord that I just don't know about. And then I find out and I'm like, that is awesome. And then I remember, I'm like, right, it's kind of our Discord. I totally forgot. It's really just nice to be a part of it. So we really appreciate how much that you've done with it and how much the community is making, you know, the most of it and taking advantage of it and how much feedback we're getting. It really all just kind of comes together to, well, this is exactly what the template would be if we were to suddenly drop ourselves in the middle of a chunk of land and go, shit, we need to figure out how to live. Right? We would all end up coming together to figure out how to do that. And we could do that. I mean, I think that's the important part, but just like playing a game, we have to be willing to fuck up. You know, we have to be willing to get in there and learn and make mistakes, roll up our sleeves and fucking do it again and waste a bunch of time, quote unquote. You know, and that's the thing. It's not wasted time just because it didn't work out. Right? And we can do anything if we keep that in mind. Anything from Discord upward.
Yeah, because what the fuck is wasted time? Even I was wondering about that the other day, like, oh, that's a waste of time. According to what fucking scale, what crystal ball, what thing, how do you know that's a waste of time? right there, because it's something that you weren't paying attention while you were doing it. So you see, you can't be sure. It's not something that someone else that you know has derived a lot of value from. Is that why you think it's a waste of time? Because what is wasted time? Like, it's all opportunity to learn something about yourself, to express yourself. And even in that, then being able to express something, and you don't even know, like, even, you know, sitting down and drawing something, you don't know what sort of things may come to you, even like ideas may come to you. You never know when something's going to hit. And so just uncovering more and more, jumping in to more and more new things, trying more new stuff, it's like you start turning over the stones, and like in your life you can see a bunch of stones and then have a couple stones that you just turn over over and over and over and over and over again, instead of, yeah, I don't know what's under all those, but I know that these are the most important ones right here. These are the ones to focus on. It's like, those have been turned over. You know those, or you at least are familiar with those and those perspectives and yada 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 yada, everything about those. But there's a lot of other stones out there that you can turn over, and you don't know what's under there. It's like they're all mystery boxes. Everything is a mystery box. You don't know what you're gonna get. Like the life's like a box of chocolates. Never quite know what you're gonna get. And you never know what's inside those chocolates. Now they give you the little thing, like telling you what everything is, way less exciting, right? You don't get to just bite in and find out what's in there and be like, because then you're like assuming, oh, I don't like this flavor, so I'm not gonna bite this chocolate. It's like, when is the last time you tried that flavor? But I don't want to be surprised by that. Yeah.
Well said. I only ever had one problem with that life is like a box of chocolates line. It's like, you never know what you're gonna get. Yeah, you do. Chocolate. Might be different flavors of chocolate, but you're getting chocolate. It's in the title. It's a box of chocolates. I just wanted to say that.
And they label them. They always give you the little chart inside the box that tells you exactly what's inside all of them. So I love that. And even then, they would always tell you what the chocolate was. Like, these are all dark chocolate, or these are all no chocolate. Like, it was never like mystery chocolate boxes. Like, nobody was ever, you always knew exactly what kind of chocolate that it was. I mean, my goodness, I love that saying. And just thinking about how much influence we have, and then how funny that is in one aspect, because it's like, of course you have influence on the experience. You are the experience. It's kind of difficult to not have influence on that experience that you are. Like, it's very hard not to have influence. It's when I was thinking of like fun words, I love thinking about like fun paradoxical words, and sometimes, and like a couple of words that kept coming back to me was just continuous participation. And it was like, not paradoxical, it's just a reminder that in that exercise of trying to come up with words, that I came up with continuous participation. And then I was thinking about how everything is a participation. Like, even when I'm not actively participating, that is my contribution. That is me participating. There is no not. There's never a moment where you're not contributing. And the example that I love to give to people is that, let's say we're sitting at a dinner table. You have just as much of a contribution as the person who says nothing at that table, as much as the person who won't shut the fuck up. And that is the same dinner. That is the same table. That is the same group. And you have just as much of a contribution, because we are all feeling that. We feel the silence. We feel the words that you're not saying, but you're embodying, as much as we feel the words that you are saying to hide the things that you are feeling.
You can't escape yourself. Always expressing yourself. And, oh man, It's like you think you can hide. And again, even just saying, using words like you and we, allow me, I'm gonna say us, me, to think that I can hide behind even those words. It's like, you only know yourself. It's all you know, and everything else is assumption, and the way you're thinking about yourself is too, but you know, you are what you are, and you see what you see, or at least what you're willing to see in yourself. And the more you're willing to take in there, the more it's almost like the less you start holding yourself back, because you realize how futile it is, because you can't anyway. You can't really hold yourself back. Like you said, you're always participating one way or another. Jazz.
I find it really funny that you really can't hide. Because I've spent so much of my time hiding. Like, it's actually crazy how often the response has been fear in face of uncertainty, when it could have just been, eh. But it's so interesting because in that space where you're not allowing yourself to be yourself, you're still being something. And in places where you think you're not being what you shouldn't be, you're still being what someone thinks you shouldn't be. So you're always going to run up into resistance one way or another. You're always going to run into challenges and frustrations and all of those things that you're trying to run away from. So you have no certainty one way or another. And so it boils down to whether or not you allow yourself that space, because at the end of the day, it's just you taking away that space from yourself. It's like no one else is taking away that space from you, but it can be such an illusion to think that that's exactly what's happening, is that, oh yeah, the society is this way, or things are just this way, or this is human nature. But it's like, how much responsibility are you giving away to hold on to that certainty? And how alone do you feel right now because of how high you have your walls to get that sense of certainty? And it's like, the walls don't keep you safe anyways. Like, you would think that you're building walls all around. You at least have some sort of safety, but you don't. Because, oh shit. Because the only reason you have those walls up is because you think there is something to protect and that there is something that could be hurt. And so with the walls comes as well that need for the walls, that resistance to the feelings that you need, that you had those walls up for in the first place. And so both sides of the equations can be dropped with just one fell swoop. It's like, I didn't need to have any of those ideas of who I needed to be or how I needed to be perceived. And all that was doing was making me feel like I needed to be something in every moment, and always trying to make sure that that's exactly what was happening. And so I was always just thinking about myself. And it gets really tiring to do that. It gets very exhausting, because you can either be in reality or you can be thinking about yourself. It often does feel that way, in that if you're holding on to your perceptions very tightly, then you're going to be missing out on a lot. You're not going to be having fun playing video games. You're just going to be thinking about yourself, trying to get somewhere and trying to be something, when you could just be here, lay down the swords, lay down the armor, and just be here, because we're all going through it. It's
I'm sorry, I was busy building a wall. Oh, how did that happen?
I had just noticed. I just noticed. I was like, what the fuck? Where's everyone going?
I love it. I love it. I love props, man. I love props on stage. I write the script so I can be the character, you know? So even when I'm pretending, I am legitimately pretending. This is authentic pretending, people. damn it, this is what it looks like. Action. You know?
I appreciate the investment.
Hey, you know, I've got the show must go on. The show must go on. Exactly. Fucking love that. No, but what I was thinking when you're talking about the walls, besides how fun it would be to build one just for the show, it was because I saw the yoga blocks and I was like, I smell an opportunity. So I definitely leaned into that. But I, as much as we talk about these walls, they are only metaphorical, except for the extremists who legitimately build legit walls outside of the walls in their mind. But for the most part, all of the walls are symbolic. And I felt like the wall. And that was one of the big insights that hit me during the first retreat was just that I finally felt like I was the wall, right? And I was the wall trying to protect myself. And all I really did was trap myself in that fear. And that's what being that wall successfully did, was it trapped me in the fear of thinking that I needed to be the wall. And I would do certain things. I would say certain things because I wanted to scare people off, because the idea of someone leaving me in any context, friend, family member, romantic partner, didn't matter. The idea of someone leaving me was horrifying, was terrifying. And I would rather push you away. I'd rather know that your departure is on the horizon. I'd rather know that I can see you looking at the exit sign than have you walk out that door without me seeing it, without me kind of preparing for it, because I didn't think that I was enough. I didn't think that I was enough, and I didn't think that I was worth staying for. And then I realized that it's just what hit me a few months after that retreat was just that, you know, for the people that genuinely enjoy you being yourself, you never have to convince them to stay. And that shit hit me like a ton of bricks, because I had done so many things to try to convince. I'm like, I am smart, I am strong, I am funny, I am this, I will do this, I have these skills, I can help make your life better, I can help do this. Like I could show you all the reasons to stay, except I didn't think that they were actually enough. And so when I finally could feel that, like, damn, I have a few examples where I was myself and I had a great time spending time with whoever that was. Usually it was best friends. And that's the example that I had at that moment. And I never had to convince them to stay, ever. So the wall was useless for the people that chose to stay. I never had to trap them there in the same way that I never had to trap myself to protect myself. It just was an exercise in fear. I was just incredibly scared and incredibly uncertain, and I didn't know what to do with that. And so making a wall seemed like a reasonable thing to do because I saw nothing but walls around me. And then I realized, yeah, I never had to build the wall. I never had to be the wall, because and I love the way that Dr. Seuss puts it, you know, for the people who matter, don't mind, or the people who matter don't mind, and the people who mind don't matter. And I love that, because that's basically saying the person who loves you being yourself, who enjoys you being yourself, those people matter. And the people who are bothered by you being yourself, they don't matter. And you don't have to convince them to stay because they don't want to stay. And if anybody doesn't want to, that's them communicating what's working for them. And everyone doesn't have to work for you in the same way that you don't have to work for everyone else.
And honestly, that's kind of mind-blowing in so many ways. Like, oh my God, I can just be myself. I don't have to look, I don't have to contort myself into the situation, what I think is best going to fit. Cause like you can contort yourself in all the different ways, turn yourself into a fucking pretzel, and it still gives you just as much a chance of someone sticking around as not. And what's the cost? Your entire fucking life, your entire fucking experience. Oh man, because even in assuming there's like a way to be yourself, like, oh, there's got to be some way to be yourself. There's got to be some way to do it. If I can just find it, then it'll be, it couldn't just be, you know, my natural instinct, inclination, gut feeling. It's got to be something else. couldn't be the thing that comes naturally. So I got to build the wall and then find it and hide. And like, is that myself? Is that myself over there? I feel like that could be a better way to be myself. Like, oh shit, I'm myself. Oh, I can fucking relax. Oh, I can chill the fuck out. Nothing's going to make me more. Nothing's going to make me less. But I can let myself be that and just find out and keep finding out. And then get more used to that water, you know, whatever that means. Get more used to just, it's because it's not even getting used to being yourself. It's just getting used to having faith in yourself, to not looking around quite so much. That's all you're getting used to, is just making decisions for yourself, living how you want to live, doing the thing that, you know, comes naturally, that you're like, that's a stupid fucking thing to do, that's a dumb thing. It's like, just do it and find out. Shut up and do it and find out, and do it again and do it again and do it again. And if you still think you suck, do it 1,000 times until you don't so much. And same goes, as much as that's for doing art or guitar or a video game, it's for being yourself too. It's for that practice of not looking around, not waking up and looking for someone to tell you how to spend your day. It's just doing it, not thinking about it so much, and doing it. And what comes naturally, what makes the most sense when you are paying attention, when you're not trying to make yourself more, it's like, how do you spend that time? And that's where, you know, the creativity and, you know, all those ideas start coming up, and then you're full of them all of a sudden because they're actually coming from you. Instead of looking to someone, what someone else has done, which is probably just what a bunch of other people have done. There's very little genuine expression. I mean, it's still genuine expression, but it's just, you know, of all those rocks that have already been turned over instead of new ones every day. Jazz?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just so easy to get caught up in trying to look for a way. Like that's going to solve your problems. Like, there's somewhere that you need to be to begin with. But there isn't. And that's what I think that's what I loved about something that Alan Watts said at one point in his life. Something about music and how life is just like music, and how you can just listen to a song for the sake of listening to the song rather than to get to the end of it. Because if you're trying to get to the end of the song, you're not even listening to the song. And the song has a bunch of instruments, but the song also has a bunch of silences as well. And the two of those together are what make the song. And that's how you hear the song. And so if you're perceiving a silence, that does not mean that you're doing something wrong. And if you're perceiving the instrument, then that doesn't mean you're something doing something right. It's just the flow that's unfolding. It's just what's happening. And you can label it all day, but at the end of the day, it's just about, are you getting in your own way? Because the concepts are fun. This is fun. Talking about it is hella fun. But it's like, if you're holding on to the concepts so tightly that they're giving you some sort of certainty about what's happening, or about what you need to be doing, or how you need to look, or what you need to be doing, then you're just getting in your own way. It's you taking yourself so seriously to the point where you're not allowing yourself to be who you are. And who you are isn't some concept. Who you are isn't some word. It isn't something that we can teach you at all. It's just a moment-to-moment finding out. It's something that just happens all the time. Even when you don't think you're doing it, you're still doing it. So the funny thing is that you don't have to do anything. it's the ultimate letting go. The letting go of the letting go. Because there's nothing to let go of. It's just you. It's all you. And yeah, it's so funny, because it's like, we can talk about it all day, but it's really with the practice that it comes down to at the end of the day. It's when you're not posting something on Instagram because you feel like you need to look like something, and it's just about allowing yourself to go through that process and recognize that it never meant anything about you. And it's going through the process whenever you feel like you need to get somewhere, when you're doing something fun, and then recognizing, oh, I can bring myself back here. Like, this is where the work is. It's not in thinking about how I'm doing the work. It's just doing it just for you because you have that option. And I think that's worth knowing. And so I'm glad I came across this conversation. I guess I'm glad that I resonated with this conversation. Yeah.
And there's not even a thing, like, there's not a thing that you do that does it either. Like, there's not even like certain things, maybe you're afraid of certain things. Like, there's almost a side that's like, overcoming a fear is for you to like improve yourself almost. And so you can think that doing something is gonna, you know, quote unquote, free you, but it doesn't. It's just like the application isn't, you know, doing what you assume is going to free you the most. It's just not taking yourself as seriously. It's just not measuring yourself, not trying to live up to something. Because again, it's like playing video games can be something that's an expression of you. If you're, you know, watching where you're getting tensed up, it's like, it's a great opportunity to see that. And that goes for everything, but it can just as easily be something that you judge yourself for. And so it's not even like a thing, like you find a thing that you do, then like, this is going to free me by doing this thing. Cause there's an endless number of things that you could jump into, and you can almost like push off that experience of just, you know, being yourself, letting go, like trying to overcome things even, is to get to a point in which you allow yourself to let go of yourself. It's like, no, you can just do it now and then be that expression, because then it comes, not that it doesn't come, that it comes more naturally, but like, you also don't have to assume that fear isn't a thing, that doubt isn't a thing. You know, that, oh, I shouldn't be afraid right now. I shouldn't be doubting myself. I shouldn't be second guessing what I'm doing right now. It's like, says who? Where's the manual that says that that's not also on the table? It's all on the table. And the only place you can do it is right now. It's not even something that's ever overcome. It's just, it's always fucking moment to moment. There's not even like checkpoints necessarily. It's just a practice, like with everything else, but it has its own point. It's definitely not to make you more. That's for sure. Oh, how much have you let go of? How much of yourself have you let go of? That would be funny.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And I was thinking about like getting lost. Like when I heard in this round table, like getting lost in the weeds and getting lost in the art. And I was like, well, what's the difference? You know, like what's happening in those two things? It's like getting lost in the art is it that you're getting lost in the art, or is it that the idea of you is lost at the moment? Right? Because it's not like the painting fucking sucks you into the canvas, right? It's not like you're lost in the actual art, you know, it's just not like you are, you know, building that clay, you know, on the wheel and whoops, there goes reality. I am sucked into this medium. It's like, no, you are but the idea of you is lost. It's not there at the moment. The concept of you is lost to you at that moment. And all that's left is all that remains, the experience. The actual experience, and then getting lost in the reeds. And it's like getting lost in your assumption to some degree, you know. And then I wonder, like, when I make mistakes and I quote unquote fuck up, it's like, did we make a mistake, or was it that our prediction wasn't accurate, because I love planning. And the reason why, or one of the reasons why I love planning, is because on some level, I want my plan to be the prediction of what's going to happen. That's why I make the plan, is because I'm predicting what I would like to happen. This is me laying all my cards out on the table. This is what I want. This is exactly how I want it. I want this block on top of that one, and then I want that block over there. You know, I'm pretty much letting you know. And so when my plans don't go the way that I want, or I'm quote unquote making a mistake, it's because my prediction is not coming true. And I have to face that, because that's what remains outside of my preference is reality. It's everything else other than what I want it to be.
Yep. And those ideas of how something should go from the micro to the macro too, like how a moment should be going. Cause I've done it plenty of times, gone through full episodes where I assume that I'm, you know, not saying anything worthwhile, just like this sort of subtle underlying assumption. Like, who are you to assume that you know what's relevant or not, what the right thing or the wrong thing to say is? You're just speaking into a void all the time, just talking yourself into a vat of uncertainty, because you're never going to know how you're looked at or seen, or even where something's going to go. Like when you're talking or interacting, like, you don't know what the next thing that's going to happen is going to be. You don't know what the next thing that someone else is going to say is as they're talking. And yet you're trying to make assumptions. Again, I'm trying to make assumptions as I go, of like judge, like subtle judgments, I guess, in a sense, of myself and the world and reality, to try and get some sense of certainty. Some sense of certainty of how something's going, how it's even how reality is going. Like, we don't even really know how anything is playing out. How there's kind of this overarching idea that, oh, the world's burning, the world's going to shit. And it's like, you look around and take a good look, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of fucked up shit going on for sure. But, you know, we don't actually, like, I don't actually know a country that I've never been to. I don't actually know what it looks like, what the people are like there. Like, I've been told certain things. I've seen something on TV. I've watched a movie or something, but there are parts of the world that I have no idea. There could be anything there, you know, anything going on. I don't know that either. So just keep trying to be sure about fucking anything moment to moment. How something's going, how I'm doing and things, and not being able to know it all. So I'll just, you know, assume it's this or assume it's that, or assume that, you know, people are going to hear things how you intend them to be heard. Like, yeah, they're going to take it in and hear it how they're willing to hear it. Maybe they won't hear it at all. Maybe they're not paying attention to you at all. You don't know that either, ever. And there's a side of it that, like, they're not. A lot of people aren't. At all. Like, well, I want someone to pay attention. Why do you need them to?
Yeah, it's interesting, because we get all caught up in ideas about ourselves. Like, the most common one that I've been talking about today is this idea of spirituality, you know, and one of the reasons that I am the way I am is because I went through all that. You know, trying to be unifying, trying to reflect, you know, source consciousness and that idea of godly love and all that shit. And it's just, you're just putting on another mask. You're just doing it again. You're just putting on more theater, and it's all self theater. That's the thing. And what's worse is that you're not even doing anything more beneficial. You're just telling yourself you are, because it's not as filled with conflict. And it's because everybody you meet, you just stroke them like a cat. You're like, hello, everything's going to be fine. Here I am talking to you in my nice soothing voice. Okay, have a great day. And then they move on. And you never once ask them anything that's going to challenge them. You never actually talk to them in a way where they're going to go, what? And ruin your nice yoga tone. Right? And that might have been the best thing for them. And so over time, just through the amount of conversations where, after having a conversation where I was being, quote unquote, unifying or spiritual, and then I'm walking home after the fact and I'm being self-honest about the fact that I really just didn't want to tell that person something in the moment that went through my mind, because I was afraid of how they'd look at me, because I needed them to perceive me a certain way, because I needed to perceive myself a certain way. And so after enough time, I just got tired of playing that game. As Jazz said earlier, you just kind of get tired of it. You look at it, you do it, and you're like, eh, that didn't nearly pay off the same way it did last time, because it really never really paid off. You know, and so eventually you just realize that there is nothing more divisive than trying to be a unifying person. Because you are assuming there's a disconnect to begin with. And you're in there trying to mend a disconnection that can't possibly exist, rather than just embodying the connection that's already there. It's because you're trying to be unifying. How fucking backwards is that? Amanda.
An image was coming to mind, you know, trying to be this unifying person is like being a bridge over the canyon that I'm creating, right? So but when I see that there's not a difference, there's not a level, I put us all on the same ground, and then you're next to me versus across the bridge from me. So you don't have to cross the bridge to get to me. You're right next to me right now. And that's a lot more, it feels a lot closer, you know? So I love bursting people's bubbles when they're like, oh, I feel this insecurity. I feel this fear. And I'm like, fuck, man, me too. Like right now. Like, like, oh, you think, oh, you handle things so well. I don't. I definitely don't. I am the first and the last person that is telling me that I am not doing well. You know, oh, you handle things, you know, you're so confident. I certainly don't feel it. It may look like it, but I certainly don't feel that. And there's just such a perception that it's only me. Right? It's either only me that's going to save everything, or only me that's stuck in this doomed experience. And I like that. I like both of those things, because in both of those scenarios, it's all about me. I love it. I love saying things exactly like that, because like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you think that I was trying to be like articulate? Did you think that I was trying to be holier than thou over here? Like, no. I don't know. There is pettiness. There is jealousy. There is insecurity. There is all of that under this surface, you know? And so, because it's all on the table, and it's always on the table, you know, I made a video for TikTok, and a few of the people from the DU community reached out and said they liked the first video and they're excited for the rest. I was like, that's great. I'm so glad that you liked that first video. Now I am also excited and nervous to make all the rest. Lucky me, it's still all on the table. Like, you know, like there is no, and I'd rather that, because if not, it would get old. And I love that you said that, Jess, because it's like, in my perspective, as soon as I heard you say that, I was like, oh yeah, you know why it gets old? Because no one sees my greatness. That's why it got old. Me being this nice person, me being this selfless person got old, because no one else saw it, right? Because it wasn't actually there. It wasn't actually there. And so no wonder I don't want to keep the performance going. The audience is fucking empty. No one's at the show, just me. And here I am outside trying to give away tickets. Come see this amazing person. She's going to save us all. Why don't any of you want to go to the show? And then it's just saying that out loud, and just being able to share that, and just saying that feeling is still there. And so is the space around that feeling. And so is the option to not pursue that feeling. That's also there.
Chaz.
Yeah, it's I was resonating with one part of that that reminded me of how there's really so much going on in with every moment that it's so easy to think that you know what's happening with someone else when you really don't. There's like as I'm speaking through this roundtable, there's like so much underneath that I'm processing as it's happening, and that you will not be able to see if I'm not directly talking about it. And I'm not always talking about it because there's so much all the time. And I think part of me doesn't talk about certain things as well because of how I perceive myself processing them. So that never comes out in conversations until I process and feel good about myself, about where I'm at with it. And then it comes out. And yeah, it's just me getting in my own way and identifying as something. So I found it very funny when I was doing the Alan Watts quote. And then I was like, at one moment in his life. And then I just like go on to completely not even give the quote because I don't know what the fucking quote is. I just know the sentiment. And so, yeah, there's so many opportunities to judge yourself all the time. It's always there. And it's like, how seriously are you taking yourself? How much are you holding on to any one perception? Because it's all there. And the more that you try to hold on to any particular ones, the more that you're trying to perceive yourself as any particular thing, the more it's going to be reflected in your experience and in the people around you. Because what I found really funny, what I continuously find really funny, is just how much my need to be perceived in a loving kind of way has pushed away loving people in my life. Because it's a fucking mask. It's a parade. It's me trying to get something out of the current moment. It's me trying to be someone that I'm not, hoping that I get something. And so what that attracts is more of that. You will find more other people who are also doing the same thing, who are also trying to get somewhere with you. And I find it fascinating as well how until you're not seeing that in yourself, you don't see that in other people. But as soon as you start seeing that in yourself, you start seeing it everywhere. And it becomes so obvious when it's happening. And again comes the opportunity to judge, but you're just judging yourself because it's all there for you as well. if you think you don't have that anymore, that you have transcended it, then you're not really going to be honest with yourself about when you do it, and you're now holding on to another identity. And when you do it, then you're going to have that need to hide from the fact that you're processing that. See, it all comes back. It's so funny. But you don't have to run away from yourself because it's just your own judgments that you're running away from, and you never had to be any part of the particular part of the process. It's the whole thing that you can allow yourself to be when you're not taking your thoughts about yourself so seriously. So interesting how we can just box ourselves up in so many different ways and think that we need to do that. But it's like, yeah, it's building a canyon when there wasn't any. And then talking about building a bridge when, yeah, it's interesting how distant you can feel from someone while being right next to them, and how close you can feel to someone while being really distant to them. And yeah, it's because it's not the physicality, it's not anything like that. It's where you are with yourself. It's not even about where you are with anyone, really. It's about where you are with yourself. Because it's always just you being with yourself. That's wherever you go, there you are. And it's about coming to peace with that. It's about allowing yourself that space that you always could have. Because there's no one else that's going to give it to you. It's you.
kingdom of heaven is smaller than a mustard seed. I always like that one because there's nowhere you have to go. There's nowhere to go. In fact, there's no space in the kingdom of heaven because there's nowhere to go. It's like it's everything you are right now, and you only exist within here and now, whatever that means. It's just be you. It's a very light feeling. That's the nice part about it. It's just we react to that lightness because we actually start to think, it can't always be this light. Surely something's wrong. Let me add some weight. Well, that feels better. That seems a little bit more familiar. That's good. Right there. That's the stuff. Now I feel like a bag of shit. Yep. Gonna carry forward. Feeling like a bag of shit. Perfect. And that's what we do because the option is to just move forward. The option is just to be you and trust that that's the best you can do. You know, the you that doesn't feel the pressure to be someone else is the you that's going to connect with everyone else the most. That's it. Remove the pressure and all of a sudden you are the person that you want to be. Because it's always been the person you are underneath it all. Just lost track of it. Just lost track of it trying to be something. Went down so many fucking paths that you forgot you never had to be in the maze at all. And that's really it. Yeah. You know? Just be. You are enough. You've always been enough. You've always had something to say. And it's always been enough. Just because somebody else doesn't think so, that doesn't make it true. It really just matters what you think. And I've said this before, but the only thing that matters to me is that I can live with myself. Because I'm the one I have to go to bed with at night. I'm the one I have to wake up with in the morning. And I can't lie to myself. And so I got tired of trying. Got tired of trying to convince myself I was something or force myself to be something or aspire to some ideal and recognize that the best and most effective thing that I can possibly be for anyone is what I've always been. Life in motion, celebrating my existence. Because that's what we all want, isn't it? To celebrate our existence. But it's like we're waiting for permission. And so we look at elsewhere, like, can we celebrate? They're like, no, life is serious. No, you don't have a good enough job. No, you don't have enough money. You know, no, because you haven't appeased God enough. You know, it's like, no, stop asking. You don't have to ask if you're enough. You don't have to ask if you can celebrate. Decide. Because if anyone can decide whether or not you can celebrate your existence, it's existence itself. And that's you. Decide. And celebrate.
It's fascinating how there's like, but there gotta be something else. No, mm-mm. None of it, none of the reasons. All the stuff, as soon as that's even that, there's a side that's like feels threatened by that. Like, no, it couldn't. But all of this time that I've spent caring so much about fucking everything but my own fucking experience, but the reality of my experience, not how you look, not how you perceive, not how you assume that you're doing with things, not how you feel after you check in on stuff, on things, after you have all your tabs figured out. It's like, how's this going? How am I doing now? Am I making progress? Am I better than I was yesterday? Have I improved at this or that? If I'm not sure, got to make sure to figure out a way to measure that, that I can be sure, just to confirm in some external way that I'm doing okay, that I'm doing enough. It's a fascinating game that we play with ourselves, the back and the forth of assuming that we're doing something that shouldn't be happening despite being what's happening. Despite doing it. What do you mean shouldn't be what's happening? It's what's happening. It's what's going on right now. And as you relax a little bit more, it's almost like it has a more of a fluidity to it. Like, it's still, there's a big part of me that's like, it's got to be something that I do to get myself there, get there to a spot in which I can let go. It's like, spot's here, motherfucker. And it's like, it's not even a thing. It's not a thing you say or you do or an action or a path that you follow. It's just fucking chilling the fuck out for a second. Not looking around so much for an answer or checking in to see how you're doing. It's none of that. It's not even anything that I'm about to say that it might be, just not checking in so much with yourself. Like, it's not even that. It's like, it's just what you're doing. It's just what you're doing. And how much are you basing how you feel off of how you're assuming that you're doing versus like what's actually happening right now? Like, what your life actually looks like what your experience is like. Because without that, then it's like, you know, why not jump in to new things? Oh, you don't want to jump into that new thing. Why is that exactly? And being willing to be honest about that, not come up with some reason. Oh, I couldn't. No, not me. Not that type of person. Not that type of person. Couldn't be that type of person. And as you relax, you know, you start to realize maybe more of those things, and then it's self-honesty, and then it's, yeah, what's going to allow you to sleep with yourself at night. And yeah.
Well said. This is it. It seems all ridiculously simple, but on the other hand, would you want to have a life where it was just like, there you go? You know, it seems overly simplistic. Like, we spent thousands of years developing the ability to conceptualize. It's a hell of a tool, and it's now a part of our existence, right? So it's not like we want it to stop. It's just that we forgot that it's a tool, right? Like, we like the experience of well, here's a perfect example. We like sex, right? We like having a romantic partner. We like having friends. We like having family. None of that exists under the pure recognition of unity. It's all just you. You have any idea how weird it feels to kiss yourself? There's very much a desired division that goes with the experience of being you. And so it's not about getting away from the concept. Right? It's about understanding the concept. It's about understanding the division. It's about experiencing it and rejoicing in it like it's a gift, but not taking it so seriously that it twists you up in fear. I don't remember which one it is, but there's Psalms that says, you know, you are gods, but you shall die like men. I really like that. It's right in the Bible for anybody who's looking. And because that's the point, is that you get the gift of mortality despite being immortal. It's a fantastic thing. You are existence and always will be, but you don't have to handle all of that all the time. You just have to take care of the responsible part that you are right now. And the rest just takes care of itself. But how can you be existence in motion if you're just not allowing yourself to be? You're not allowing yourself to be informed by everything because you're resisting everything. Because you are a separate part, desperate to survive. And all it's doing is informing you every step of the way, despite your resistance. Each and every experience is teaching you about yourself, regardless of how much you're trying desperately to make it about this idea of you. Reality just keeps slapping you around, going, nope, that's not you either. Nope, that's not you either. Right? And it's doing so in a way where you can take it. Like, ultimately, like, you could at any point just go, Christ, none of these ideas are me, and just stop. But you don't, do you? No, you don't. You double down. You try some more, try a different path, try another idea, right? And then you come right back to the same fucking realization. And that's the whole point, is that the only reason you keep going in circles is because you're not willing to let go yet. And that's okay. Because who says you're supposed to right away? That's the whole idea. It doesn't matter. You're still serving a purpose. You're still going through your life. You're still making ripples. The only person who suffers is you. And that's the best reason for you to take accountability. It's just where you go, oh God, I keep trying to make myself into something and it's making me hate what I am. Instead of just going, why do I have any opinion about this at all? And just move forward. You know, because the opinion's always superficial. It's always based on some assumption. It's always based on a bias. In which case, just let it go and see what happens. I really mean this. This is really important. You know, it's funny because people are like, you know, think before you speak. Don't do that. But give yourself a little extra space and time to allow thinking to happen. Because all of a sudden the considerations will come flooding in and you'll say something else.
That's actually really well said, because I find often that there can be a resistance to change because you're holding on to a snapshot of yourself. And so you're not really paying attention to what's happening anymore because you found some certainty over who it is that you're going to be once you start talking, for example. And like now there was a period of time that you stopped listening to because you had the right thing, for example, that you wanted to say or get across. And so then you will try to make that point, but it's like, would you be making that point if you continued paying attention? Who knows? And so it's so interesting then to see, honestly, just what comes out. Like the process of talking can be like the process of listening to yourself if you allow yourself to change as it's happening. Because I found there's been such a resistance as well to allowing change to happen in the moment. Period. It's like the response of fear can get in the way of you allowing yourself to change at a more accelerated rate. And so why I love what Ray was saying about how you still don't get in the way of change. You can hold on to all sorts of certainty that you want, and reality is still going to come smacking at your head. And you're still going to be taking in so much, and so much more than you even think. That's what I find so funny, is that you're taking in more than you think you're taking in. And so it's not even about making sure that you're taking it in, because you're already doing it. Yeah. You're already taking it in. And so even if you weren't paying attention, that you did take in something that you're now processing. And so that's part of that process as well that's happening. And so, yeah, it's just fascinating to hear yourself, I think, because there's so much that comes out when you're allowing yourself that space to not really know what you're going to say, not really having any idea of what you're going to draw, because you don't have to get anywhere with the drawing. It's each stroke is the point. And with every stroke, you get that beautiful joy of just being here. Because that's all it ever needed to be about. It's just about being here. But yeah, it's the concepts are fun. The concepts are interesting. They really add color to the experience for sure. And the experience of division can be so fascinating as well, and so joyful and so mesmerizing and frightening and saddening and scary and all of it. And that, yeah, like I wouldn't want it any other way.
Different strokes for different folks, as they say, and some strokes you enjoy thoroughly, some strokes are deep, some strokes are shallow, some strokes are aggressive, some strokes are gentle. And they're all reflective of, you know, where you're at, how involved you are in the experience of stroking. And I've found that it's far more enjoyable to stroke when you're actually there for the stroke, not stroking for a purpose or stroking for a reason or stroking because it means something about you. Just stroke, man. Just stroke, you know. Just get in there and keep putting strokes out there. Stroke reality, for God's sake. Get right in there.
You're right. Because if you stroke for the end result, eventually you just don't enjoy the stroking as much. Then all of a sudden you're stroking for short periods of time. It's not really serving any pleasurable purpose outside of just getting you to the end result. And I mean, then it's just a cessation of stress, right? Whereas opposed, you could just take your time. Don't have to get to the end result. Stroke all day.
Life can be just the accumulation of strokes and stroking. Your entire life can be one long, deep stroke if you're paying attention to it. and that's all it's got to be.
This roundtable's gone right off the rails.
I have no idea. I was like, all right, time to circle this back into something else. I'm like, this is too far gone. This train is off the tracks, tumbling down the mountainside. And it's like, I don't know when it's going to settle, but we're just going to let that thing, it's starting to take the bigger and bigger bounces to the end, starting to get really fucked up. And it's like, all right, I think that train might be totaled.
Listeners like, wondering, are they having a stroke? What's happening?
Yeah. Maybe. That's a great question. I got no
idea. Do not check out the video feed of this roundtable.
whatever you do. Do not
go. Oh, you. Shit. Okay, so actually, since we're all celebrating the stroke, I just wanted to talk about how Patreon's going to be changing in the very near future. There are going to be some new Patreon-only episodes. And we're going to record them once or more per month, and it's going to be all four of us, hopefully, getting together and recording a nice short episode, half hour to an hour long, where we're going to shoot the shit specifically only for Tier 2 and Tier 3 Patreon supporters. And so this will be kind of like a private podcast, something that only you get to listen to, a way of us saying thank you and also sharing some of the shit that we don't talk about on the podcast. And I know, as much as we just discovered that we'll talk about anything, including a deep discussion on stroking, there are, in fact, some conversations that we don't get into on the podcast, things that go on behind the scenes, you know, personal considerations and whatnot. So if you'd like exposure to those episodes, weird choice of word, exposure. If you'd like access to those episodes, definitely check us out, patreon.com/dualisticunity. I'm going to stop right there. Amanda?
Thank you so much, everyone, for your generosity and all this stroking, you know, leaving me in this sea of strokes. I just raised my hand because I was just like, fuck it. I actually don't know what I am going to say, because there's so many instances where I will think something, an analogy, a picture comes to mind, and I want to share that. And so I do. But this time I got lost in this tornado of strokes, and I just raised my hand. I don't know where this stroke is going to take me, but we're going to ride this shit out to the end. So.
And the strokes, though, right? Just to confirm, there was, you consented to the strokes, right?
You know, absolutely. When I signed up for this roundtable, that I did say I agree to the terms of this stroke.
Read the fine print.
That's right. It was there. I agreed to it. I walked in willingly into this cloud of strokes that surrounds me. No, but I love how spontaneous life can be, or how a moment can be. And that is a part of just what's available. You know, it doesn't have to be a particular type of thing, a particular stroke. It's just that everything is available, and I can just be open to it. And I, so something that did come back when you were talking, Jazz, about you know, you take in more than you imagine. And the first thought that came to mind was, I'm not really sure I'm taking it in. It feels like it's all within, like it's all in there anyways. So what am I taking in? What am I taking in that's not already there? You know, and so, but that's another, I love our words and how words are divisive, but how in the space between those words is everything else. And so, although words have a limit, words aren't the only thing that we use to communicate. It's where those words are coming from. It is the feeling. It is the silence in between those syllables being spoken. It is the silence that allows for sound. And so, you know, we dance with the sound. And I love how we talked about earlier in this roundtable about doing certain activities just for the sake of doing them, because you're the only one that's judging it. You know, you're painting on a canvas and the canvas isn't looking back at you like, you really could have used a little yellow in the bottom left. You know, you're dancing to the song and the song's not going, you know, that ending could have been a little better. You know, you're cooking the food and it's like, I could have had a little more seasoning, you know, all of these things that you can do always are just something to do, you know, and the judgment about how you're doing them is only coming from within you. And everything else that you're experiencing is within, because it's all, it just doesn't feel so much like it's out there and getting in. It just feels like in is getting bigger than the way that I imagined it, because the way that I imagined in was that it was so small, you know, that I was so small. And the idea is very small, but there's more than just that idea. And raising my hand now, I didn't have a particular idea about like how it was going to go, but I raised my hand anyways, because I was curious. I was curious about how it could unfold more than I was wanting for it to unfold in a way that I had just thought of, right? Because I hadn't thought of the preference yet. So it was like, okay, I'm more curious than I am more drawn to having my comforts. And so that's why I love that little poem that I wrote that I couldn't fucking get out of my head, that I couldn't get to sleep until I got it out. Right. And it was just because the thoughts that led to that poem was how I'm always starting again, always. Always starting again. In every moment, you are starting again. You're never like not starting something new. You are always in this blank canvas of a moment. And in every moment, you can pick up new colors, new brushes, new mediums. You can always paint a new picture. You can always start again, because this moment is always fresh. But it's, I didn't want to start again because I wanted to hold on to what should have been. And so that's why I didn't want to start again. But it's like, I can't escape starting again, because there's always this newness. There's always this fertileness and the potential and the ground and the potential of this experience. It feels like the most fertile ground that anything could grow in. And as much as I want a certain plant to grow, it doesn't take away from the fact that anything could grow depending on what I water. And so when I take a look at the garden of my life, I shouldn't really be too surprised at the plants and the trees that I'm seeing, because these are all the things that I've watered. And if I want to see a new plant, I can just water something else.
Well said. Well said. And The amount of things that we do to just focus on what's been and the should have been, could have been, when it's like, you don't even know what that is that you thought should have been or could have been. Like, what exactly did I think should have or couldn't have been? What did I think I should have or couldn't have been? What do I assume that I am right now? What do I assume my life even is? Always had a tough time.
What I'm thinking. That's what I assume, that I am what I think I am. That's the assumption that traps me. That's it. That's the leap of insight that's so hard for us to get over. That the thing you're thinking about isn't actually what you are. That thinking does have a purpose, but that purpose is never to tell you the truth. It's just to look at an angle of what is from a different perspective. It really is that. You know, it's just you're never what you think you are. And what remains is what teaches you. So it's not a bad thing to think something about yourself, but there's a consequence to holding on to it, regardless of how good it feels. And that's the thing. The thoughts about you that feel terrible have a positive feeling associated with it. You know who you are. Right? The thoughts that feel great, even more so. But they all trap you into thinking that you're one thing, and that will eventually cause conflict with everything else. It'll limit you and put you in a box and separate you from people that you can't identify with because you think you're that one thing. But if you can recognize you're never what you think you are, then you'll just continue to be growth and change and what is, which is everyone. And that's when we're in this together. It's just about not settling on anything. Or when you settle on it, don't settle on it. Just go, aha, I'm kind of that, maybe not really, but I'll use that for convenience sake because, you know, language. Right. But just remembering that, and that sounds really tricky, but it's not. It just means not taking yourself super seriously. That's it.
Yeah, we want it to be tricky, though, right? We want to have something to solve, something that to overcome, because the challenge is how I define myself. But yeah, it can be so easy. It can be so light. And I find it funny how that can be alarming in itself. That yeah, it should be harder, it should be more difficult. Cause that's what we're seeing, right? That's what we're seeing all around us, is people are tense, people are stressed out all day. And so we just think that that's the normal. We think that's the bar. That's just how life is. But it's just about having the willingness to question that. Because you don't know. And if you want to find out, well then, there you go. And I find it funny how, despite whether or not you're willing to find out, you're still going to be hit in the head over it, with it. It's like, oh, wait, you don't want to find out? Well, I'm going to hit you with it even harder. Because it really does feel like that when you are holding on so hard to your ideas of what life is or what you are, that everything feels like it hits 10 times harder because you're giving it that weight. Yeah, absolutely you're giving it that weight. You're fighting yourself. You're in a boxing match with yourself, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be giving so much weight to all of these thoughts in your head. Because, yeah, while they may provide you with a good feeling, it's like, is it really a good feeling that you're feeling, or is it just comfort that you've become accustomed to? Because the feeling, often, not always, but I guess, I don't know, doesn't really have any labels. It doesn't have any sort of good or bads associated with it. You can feel tension and you can feel relaxation, but oftentimes I think it's so easy to settle on feeling better as some sort of indication that you're doing something right now, as opposed to it just coming from a sense of relief of that now you know what's happening and you've become so used to being in that space. You've become so accustomed to being in that space that other spaces frighten you. That's only because you haven't spent as much time in them. And so, yeah, you do get better at even being yourself. And it's so funny because it's the lightest thing. It feels like the lightest thing. But yeah, it can feel alarming when you've spent so much time being so stressed. And it's about being okay with that. It's about, it's like, yeah, it's fine. I can get caught up in shit all day long. That's fine. And then I can let it go at the end of the night. And that's fine too.
Gives you something to do with your eternity. Right? Yeah, that's very much it. But it's just recognizing that. I think that's the point. And again, I've said this before. We got like 2 minutes here. But everything I said, or everything I've ever said, any of the insights that I've ever shared or anything else, is, as much as they're very useful, there's nothing more useful than the recognition that I am eternal. That I'm eternal and that I'm everyone, that I'm life itself. That recognition changes everything. It changes everything. Competition, comparison, like all of it just seems fucking pointless. At the end of the day, fear of death, fear of the unknown, it's always going to be you. It's never going to be the unknown. It's always going to be you because you're the unknown. So it changes your experience of everything. But it's not a belief. It really is just getting out of the way enough to you're like, oh, fuck. Well, of course I'm everything. Because any division I perceive is just a concept. So the very fact that I'm aware right now is because the universe is aware through me. Because reality itself is expressing awareness. And we're all reality. So we're expressing awareness. That's it. When you're looking at yourself and you're looking at everyone else, when you're looking at everyone else, you're looking at yourself. This has been a fun roundtable. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're going to be on Patreon next in 15 minutes. It's a tier 2 call. You can get a free trial for 7 days. Just check it out. Patreon.com/dualisticunity. We get in all kinds of conversations. And if you play StarCraft 2, join us. Check it out. Join us on Discord. Join us on Twitch. If you haven't played StarCraft 2, go and check it out. Shit's totally free. Love that game. We're going to be playing a lot more games as we go into the future, so we'd love your recommendations. Check it out on Discord, because Jazz has made Discord awesome. There's a gaming channel there, too. And if you can, we'll see you there on Sunday. Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone.